We certainly enjoy Mother's Day and the thoughts of our own families and all that it means. But it points out, especially in our day, the power of biblical truth, and even beyond that, when we have godly mothers and godly Christians, the absolutely transforming power that is in those who are aware of seeing generational work done. In other words, understand their lives in the context of the fullness of what God wants to do in this age in which we live. Well, the world knows that. Lord Shaftesbury said, "Give me a generation of Christian mothers, and I will undertake to change the whole face of society in 12 months." It's really true, especially if you had New Testament godly mothers across this land, it would make a huge difference, and I agree with him, in 12 months. You see, for children, this is very true, as one writer says, mother is the name of God in the lips and hearts of little children. And of course, father certainly would be the same in that regard. But going beyond that, godly leadership, the real thing, is what we need. The fairly well-known poem reads, "Ye are writing a gospel, a chapter each day. By the deeds that you do, by the words that you say, men read what you write, whether faithless or true. Say, what is the gospel according to you?" And my friends, today I'd like you to turn with me to 1 John chapter 2 and hear the cry of the apostle, the last living apostle, who had seen God do a work from China to England and down into the depths of Africa by the power of the living God. He knew that Christ was alive. He knew that he was the resurrected Savior. He had seen his power. He understood that he was the ascended and enthroned Christ with all power. And he had seen principalities and powers move back throughout the Roman Empire and has seen religions fall in the face of the declaration of the gospel of Christ. He knew the reality of Christ. He knew him when he was here on earth, but he knew the greater blessed relationship with him because of the indwelling Holy Spirit. And the Apostle John was very concerned that the normal tendency for decline because of our humanity would not occur in the work of God. And the only way it would not occur, the decline that is, would be for believers to stay in that intimate, genuine relationship with their Savior. And that is the heartthrob of this book. So the first point we're going to look at here today is knowing that we have genuine fellowship with God. Now the Lord had the Apostle John start off there in chapter 1 with, in verse 3, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." He had seen him. He had touched him. He knew he was real. He knew his resurrection was real. But he knew even more that his relationship with him now was real. And that leads us now to chapter 2, picking up where we left off last week, verse 3. "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." The driving theme of the epistle of 1 John is, are we or are we not abiding in Christ? The assurance of knowing that we're right with God. What does a real Christian look like? Verse 6, I think, is the heartbeat and the clear theme of this book. Are we abiding in him? You know, Christians can be saved and dwelt by the Spirit of God, saved for an eternity, and not live like it. There are carnal Christians. There are spiritual Christians. There are Christians who are grieving the Holy Spirit, There are Christians who are empowered by the Holy Spirit. There are Christians who have the markings of the world, which are controlled by Satan, all over them because they have made compromises in their lives, and there are other believers who shine forth the very person of Christ because the Holy Spirit's in control. And my friend, those comparisons are dramatic. Those differences, I should say, are dramatic, and they make a difference. As we think of generational family impact of mothers and fathers, as we think of generational impact of churches, and as we think of discipleship, friends, it is vital that our Christianity is not just dogma, though that's important. It's not just doctrine. It is doctrine that leads us to an absolutely real abiding in Christ in which we know Him in a very genuine way. That is what the apostle is passionate about here. And so back to verse 3, this genuine fellowship. Hereby we do know that we know Him. Now let me stop there. We can know that we know Him. Now let me have your attention here this morning. There are some believers here that have walked with God this morning. They're not questioning Him. They've met with Him. It's absolutely real. Not some nebulous thing. It's not some nice idea. It's not even doing your devotions, so to speak. Some people have had fellowship with God and they know it. Friends, if you're right with God and you are walking with Him, you know it. And I think that ought to be stirring. You know, so often this epistle is all that people try to make it, do you know if you're saved or not? No, it's do you know Him in a genuine walk? That's the thrust of this epistle, for the believers to know that they are not fooling themselves. They are walking with God. It's tragic when believers are not. But so often, I certainly have found myself there many a time, it's very easy for us to fool ourselves. But we can know. We can know that we know Him. The word know is the experiential knowledge that we learn, that we personally experience. It's the aspect of having an ongoing personal reality in which you know in your spirit, through your spiritual understanding by the Spirit of God, that you are in touch with God by His power. You know it. Now, we know truth. The Holy Spirit has put truth in our hearts. We have the Word of God, and that's another Greek word. But this is to know by a genuine, real experience with God. And it should be clearly understood. Now, I think a lot of people are like the man who operated a nice house and he lost an extremely expensive watch in the sawdust. It was just piles of sawdust there because of the ice. And he offered a reward, and a number of men came in to try to find it. They raked it. They did everything they could not find the watch. Well, they all left to go to lunch. And a little boy snuck in, knowing what was going on, and he laid down on the sawdust as everything quieted down, and he waited, and sure enough, when he was quiet enough, he heard a tick, 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 tick. And he was able carefully to find out there is where the watch is. And he comes in to the elation of the owner that he had found the watch. My friends, we're doing all kinds of stuff. We're moving and we are so noisy in our souls, and we try to add a walk with God to all the other things that we're doing good, and we've got all kinds of aspirations, and our lives are just sort of like raking sawdust. May I submit to you, there's a real God that loves you and made you for Him. Be still and know that I am God. If you will set your heart on God, He will set His heart on you. If you will take the time to be in this Word and put Him first above all things and take the time to pray and allow God, by the power of the Spirit, to join you to Him, spirit to spirit, you'll begin to hear His heartbeat, so to speak, spiritually. You will know, I have found Him. Now, He never left, but the point is, Many Christians say, you know, the only thing I've got is doctrine. That's why so many teenagers sometimes struggle, because they don't know him. Oh, they know him. They're clearly saved. God's done some work in their heart, but they haven't stopped to listen. And what we need to realize is, what are we listening for? That's the second part of this verse. We know him if we keep his commandments. Now, unfortunately, I think we run over these verses and think of, all right, I got to do this, this, and this. That's not what it's talking about. We're talking about listening to him. You see, a mother that's effective in parenting teaches her child to have attentiveness. It's a great character trait. Attentive to the voice and look of the mother. And that child, because he loves his mother and respects her, should be listening and watching her to know exactly what she wants. That's the picture here of those who know God. They love him so supremely that they're listening for his words. They're listening for what he wants. They're catching a hold of his priorities. They're catching a hold of the spiritual look on his face, so to speak, as to what is most important in their lives. So if we're going to know that we know him, we are going to have to realize that we've got to keep in the heart of hearts of our life the precious words of our Savior. Many of you have lost loved ones. I think of my dear mother. I remember the last time she actually was able to speak to me, those words burned in my heart. The last thing she said was, "Don't quit." Sorry, folks, I ain't quitting. I got to face my mama. No, the Lord Jesus is what matters. But the point is, the Lord Jesus was speaking through. But you know, those are precious words. I don't know how many times they've rang in my soul. "Do right," she said. "Stay strong. Don't quit." Burns into your mind. I love my mother. I owe so much to her. I hold those things dear to my heart. And all the other things that she taught me, my father taught me, that God used them to teach me. But the point here, folks, is how much do we really love him? We can know we know him because we're listening to him. Not hard to obey when you love him. Lord, what would you have me to do? And you know he's going to give you the power. He's going to give you the strength. He's going to give you the direction. He's never going to ask you to do anything. He's never going to ask you to be anything that he will not himself do through you. Man, we got it made. But do we know him? Do we know him? In translating the Bible into a tribe's native language, a missionary in Africa just could not come up with a word for obedience. It just wasn't in their culture. And one day he entered the plaza of a village, and his dog strayed behind. He whistled, and the dog came lickety-split to him at top speed. An elderly man there sitting by the roadside was really impressed at the instant obedience of the dog. He exclaimed in his language, "Dog yours, ear is only." Well, of course, what that meant was, your dog is all ear. He's obedient. Ah, there was the expression he needed. And so he put in the Bible translation that we need to be all ear to God. Obedient. Are we listening? Be still and know that I am God. You see, folks, one of the burdens right now, even as we're approaching some of these challenges, are we all ear? You know, you can have organization, great motivation, a lot of enthusiasm built up. You know, the Spirit of God, if we're listening, can accomplish miracles in our families, in the matter of giving, sacrifice. The trouble is, we don't want to listen because it goes against our priorities, what we want. It's hard for us to sacrifice. It's hard for us to make life changes. It's hard for us to deal with certain sins in our life. If we're all ear, then that means we're going to have to look to God for transformation. That's exactly what we need. See, that's the point, because then God can begin to do mighty things through us and be able to accomplish the work, because we die to self and we begin to truly live for him. There were three daughters of a king, and he desired to know how much they loved him. The first two declared they loved him more than all the gold and silver in the world. The third said, I love you. My love is better than salt. He wasn't exactly elated with that illustration, and he attributed his youngest daughter's reply to her immaturity. Well, the cook overheard, and so he left the salt out of the king's breakfast and his lunch. Now, the king awakened to the fact that his daughter's declaration, I love you so much that nothing is good without you, was the best declaration of all. And that really is a beautiful picture I'll be talking about. Is God that important that without him you don't want to live? That's really what we're talking about. You see, hereby we know that we know him if we're listening to him. I mean, he's life. His way is right. He is the creator. He is the savior. He gave us everything that we have. He gave us his word. The only way we really live is him. I got to listen. I got to do what he says, because it's the only way to glorify him, and it's the only way to live. Well, there's counterfeit fellowship with God. Verse 4, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now, folks, I don't think I have to overly explain this one. Evangelical Christianity has a lot of ways that we declare our fellowship with God. We sing, we testify, we do different things that make it look like we know God. But when it really gets down to it, how much time are we praying? How much time are we listening? How transformed is our life? How real is it? How supernatural is it? How much is it centered on a walk with God? You see, this is what disillusions people when they see declaration of knowing God, but not conformity to the Word of God. You know, there's a lot of ways we can substitute this supposed knowing of God and having worship of him that truly is not listening to him. We have a lot of emotional worship today. And I'm telling you, people can get worked up between the music and the program and the lights and the drama. And I mean, you can get moved to tears about some truth. And it can be a help. But the major aspect is emotions, and we go our way and live just like we used to live. See, that's not genuine worship. That's soulish worship. Then there's willpower. You know, do all this, give this up, earn the credits. I mean, God's going to have to bless because it's look what we're doing. And I tell you what, you can have some pretty exciting achievements that have no walk with God. And then there can be benevolence and doing things for people because you want to feel good about it and you think you're spiritual, but God's not in it. Now, folks, may I say something to cut right through here? America's in trouble because evangelical Christianity has not been true, abiding Christianity. Our God's big enough to do greater things than he's done. And our substitute for real Christianity has left this country bankrupt without God. There is no holding back. We are going to the depths of wickedness, and the church is not able to stop it because we have gone down with the culture. And I'm telling you, it's not going to be protests that do it. It's not going to be all these things that sometimes we want to do to try to make things happen. Folks, we've got to have some people that know they're with God, with their God, and who are listening to him, and God will begin to work. So there's a lot of, this is a terrible illustration, but you know, it's Mother's Day. A lot of people's evangelical Christianity is like a baby pacifier. Makes them feel good for a while, but they ain't getting nothing from it. Great theology. Wasn't that was worth coming for this morning? That'll help you remember Mother's Day. But honestly, I hate to say it, I'm talking about real believers. Feel good for a moment, leave the church, and totally the same when they leave. No food, because we're not listening to God, because our hearts are not right. We are not seeking Him with all of our heart. So he says, we're a liar. You know, folks, the worst thing in the world is to act like you're a spirit-filled Christian and not be. What's the solution? Well, become one. That's the solution. But I tell you what, pious talk just doesn't cut it. Putting on the act doesn't cut it. Externalism doesn't cut it. Emotionalism doesn't cut it. Genuine, humble, honest, transparent, real fellowship with God is powerful. And I'm telling you, this country is craving for the real thing. And we got it. We're Bible-believing Christians if we're saved here today. We have got the Word of God. We have the indwelling Spirit. We've got it. God is able to work. Just don't be a liar. And I'm going to have to just conclude with this. If we do know Him, guess what happens? The love of God, verse 5, is perfected in us. And that helps us know that we know Him, because as we're abiding in Him, God is changing us, putting down self, and giving us the ability to put Him first and others first, and we have that glorious fruit of the Spirit, the agape love of Christ. It's an amazing thing. And God changes us that way. Well, folks, the impact of Christ is an amazing thing. Jonathan Goforth was God's radiant servant, but he wasn't always that. God broke him of his external service for the Lord, though it was faith-filled many times, and he really got a hold of revival truth, as you know. After that, he began to be radiant, and God worked in his life. After he went home to be with the Lord, all of the messages that reached his wife after his homegoing, none touched her as much as a little girl, servant girl, she was older now, a girl that had still was caught in religion, but was in the home of a place where the Goforths often visited. And hearing about his passing, she said to her master, "When Dr. Goforth has been here, I have often watched his face and have wondered if God looked like him." We have the privilege of showing forth the reality of Jesus Christ. He's shining forth right now in the lives of a number of people. The real thing. Apostle John says, "I know he's real. I know he's resurrected. I know he is the living Savior. And I have fellowship with him. And I want you to." And that has been the secret of the mighty move of God, but you can't fake it. You either are in fellowship with him or you're not. You are either completely surrendered to him, listening to him, having a heart to serve him, or you're not. Oh, may God give us that kind of heart. Let's bow for prayer. As we bow before the Lord here this morning, simple truths, friends, but how easy it is for us to substitute heartwarming music, some kinds of experiences, doing good for a genuine, sincere walk with God, where we know Him. Folks, you can have a more intimate relationship with God than anybody you know on this earth that you know now or have ever known. A mother's love and a mother's relationship is a good picture of the depth and warmth of the kind of relationship that we can have. You're here this morning and you'd say, "Pastor, I am a believer. I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm so thankful what God has done for me. But I have to admit, I substitute counterfeit experiences sometimes instead of a real walk with God. I'm not all ear. God calls me to do something I don't want to do, I back up. If there's some changes I need to make, sometimes I hold back. To spend that extra time, up to even an hour in prayer, I just don't make that a priority. Listening to Him about talking to someone else, I miss that. changing my lifestyle a little to be able to give what he wants me to give, I'm just not willing to do that. See, friends, that's why we don't know him. It's not that those things give us any credit. It's just we love him. He's leading us to die to self so that the love of God can be perfected in our lives. And I'm telling you, there's nothing more glorious than knowing God, abiding in him. He is life. You'd say, Pastor, I'm a believer, and my heart is stirred as I think about it. I have had those times. There is nothing better than living in a revived state. That life again, walking with my Savior, knowing him, enjoying his fellowship moment by moment. And I realize that I'm not all ear right now, but I want to be. I want to see God do in this day what he's done in past times, and I know the word of God is real, and God has stirred my heart. There is a hunger to know him and to know it, and I want to know it. And my heart is to be humble about this. Would you pray for me this morning? With no one looking, would you just slip your hand up as a believer if your heart cry is, oh, I want to know him. I want to know that I know him. I want to have that kind of walk. I want to have it real moment by moment. God bless you. Many, many hands. Anyone else? I need to join those hands. That means I'm going to have to deal with some things, but I want to do it because he's more important than anything else. Yes, God bless you. God is working in my life. I long to have the fullness of his presence, just like that closeness in the most intimate relationships of our life. Maybe you're here and you've never come into that relationship. My friend, it's through trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. He died for you. He rose again. He paid the price for your sin. He did that because he loves you. He did that because he does want to know you, but you've got to first stop trying to do it yourself. It's all about him. The gospel is the good news of his salvation. And you'd say, Pastor, if I were to die, I don't know what would happen, or I'm not sure what would happen. I would certainly love to know that I have a genuine, eternal relationship with him, and I'm going to join these many other people. And would you pray for me? I'm going to slip my hand up and ask you for prayer. Anyone like that, join these. We'd love to pray for you. Not going to point you out. We're just going to ask God to make that clear, that you will come to truly know him as your Savior. Anyone at all, just slip it up till I can see it, then put it back down. Lord, would you work in hearts? Thank you for your word. So simple, but so glorious, coming especially here from the heart of this man that walked with you here on this earth and yet walked decades later, just like we do, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, how he loved you, and how we need to love you. And that's the secret to seeing you work in these days. And Lord, there's no end to what you can do if we will believe you. Lord, we're not all ear. We're not listening. We're not willing to truly be what we ought to be. Lord, help us not to be dishonest about it. Would we be honest before you? You know if we've walked with you this morning. You know if we came into this service truly right with you. Lord, we should have had every morning a glory time with you and throughout the day. Lord, this is our inheritance. It's our privilege. So Lord, work in the hearts of these that raise their hands and those that need to be saved. Oh, may it be clear to them. Oh, may they realize it's a relationship, not religion. It's a great salvation offered by one who loves them. Bless now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.